Have you ever wondered why we do this thing called church, why we gather? There are a few reasons, but one of the reasons that we gather like this is to be ready for that day, the day that we just sang about, the day that Jesus returns, because we all want to be ready for that day. And in fact, in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament in chapter 10, most of you are familiar with these verses. Verses 24 and 25, let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together. That's what we're doing this morning. Not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. Did you know that the Bible gives encouragement as the primary reason? It's actually not worship. I know we think that we come here to worship, and we certainly do. But in fact, Romans 12, the first few verses, says that all of life is to be worship, that all of life is offering ourselves to the Lord in worship. And this, what we do, is just part of that worship. And then all that we do in the service should be worship, and singing is just part of that form of worship. But you know, the Bible's really clear that we come to church for encouragement, to encourage one another. That's what these verses say, as the day is approaching. And so the reason that we gather, or at least the reason that we should gather, it's not to be entertained. I know this isn't very entertaining. It's to be encouraged. And I hope you are encouraged and equipped, and that gathering together helps you and me be more ready for the day that we see Jesus Christ face to face. Today, we're looking at the subject of meaningful membership, and this is a topical sermon. I don't normally preach topical sermons, but once in a while, they are important and ways that we can address things that are pressing on my heart, things that are important for us to look at as a church. And my question to you is, how important is the local church in your life? I'd assume that you're here because the local church has some importance to you in your life. I remember talking to another believer, a brother in Christ, who was a member of this church many years ago. And I was talking to him about life and about faith and just love this guy, this brother in Christ. And then we started talking about church, and he told me about the church that he was attending. And then somehow the subject of church membership came up. And those of you who know me well know that this is one of my hobby horses, church membership. I think the last time I preached on it was 6 years ago. So I exercise considerable restraint. But every few years, I have a burden and I want to unleash it. I was talking to this brother and the subject of membership came up, and I remember, as I recall the conversation, I think it was a couple of years ago, he said something like, I'm not a member at this church. He said, I am a member of the universal church. And so why do I need to be a member of a local church? And I think what my friend meant was, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm part of that vast, innumerable congregation, right? Throughout all of history, all of the people who love the Lord and belong to Him throughout history, that universal church, I belong to that church because I've trusted in Jesus. So why do I need to be a member of a church down the street? Well, I remember trying to reason with my brother, but my arguments fell flat. My arguments for church membership, they fell flat, as they so often do. And as I walked away from that congregation, we're going to talk about the congregation, but that was a conversation that we were having. And as I walked away from that conversation, I remember just getting kind of introspective, like, am I making too much of this? Is this just something that I'm somehow hung up on? Was I born in the wrong century? Like, why do I care so much about this when people that I deeply respect and love don't share my convictions about church membership? Well, I got some help from a friend who pointed out an article of our church's statement of beliefs. And here it is from the North American Baptist Statement of Beliefs. We belong to the North American Baptist Conference. And this is Article 6. which says, we believe the church is the body of Christ. See that capital C? That's the universal body of Christ. All believers from all times, past, present, future. We believe the church is the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head, and all who believe in him are members. Christians are commanded to be baptized upon profession of faith and to unite with a local church. You see, there's the universal church and the local church. To unite with a local church for mutual encouragement and growth in discipleship through worship, nurture, service, and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, do you see that? Christians, I never saw this. I mean, this is our church's statement of faith, and it took me a long time for this to click. And then I saw this as my friend reminded me, my friend who doesn't even belong to a North American Baptist church, that Christians are, according to what we believe, commanded to unite with a church, a local church. Now, what does the word unite mean? I wish I was there when they all were forming this statement, because I could have just, you know, came up to the conversation and said, now, what exactly do you mean by unite? Because this is very important for us to, you know, to get an understanding of what is meant here. And I looked up in the dictionary in Merriam-Webster online, and unite, this transitive verb, means to put together, to form a single unit, to cause to adhere, to link by a legal or moral bond. That sounds kind of official, doesn't it? In other words, according to what our statement of faith says, believers are commanded not to merely attend a church or be affiliated with a church or be associated with a church, but to unite with, which sounds a lot like joining, which sounds a lot like church membership. And one of the passages that is referenced in our statement of faith is from Acts chapter 2, verse 41, where we read this. This is after Jesus had died and risen and ascended to heaven. This is after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers who were gathered in Jerusalem. And the Apostle Peter preached this sort of home run, grand slam gospel sermon about Jesus. And we read this in verse 41. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. Do you see the progression there? They believed, they received the message, then they were baptized, and then they belonged. They were added. There was a sense in which they were numbered with those who were part of that gospel community. And so my question here, first of all, is where would you put yourself on that progression? Where would you put yourself on that continuum of belief, baptism, and belonging? Look, the most important thing, hear me, vastly more important than you becoming a member of a local church is that you become a member of the universal church. Because let's face it, there are people who are members of churches who are not actually believers. But all of those who belong to Jesus Christ, who believe in him, are members of the universal church. And that doesn't mean that the local church isn't important, as I'm going to argue. But if you're here today and you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, that is the first step. None of this really means anything until you do that, until you turn. Because what did Peter preach on that day of Pentecost? He preached that in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness from our sins. All the things that our conscience testifies about that are wrong. All of the things that even if we don't believe are wrong, the Word of God testifies are wrong and against God and His design. All the sinful inclinations that we have, all the good things we failed to do, all the times where we should have thanked God and given honor to Him, but we failed to do that. All the ways that we've worshiped idols, we've taken created things and made them into gods that we bow down to. Even if we don't do that physically and literally, we do that in our hearts. We live for something other than God. We live for money. We live for reputation. We live for sexual pleasure. We live for our own personal fulfillment, or we live for religious ideals. Jesus died to forgive us of our sins. And Peter said in that sermon that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, saved from God's righteous judgment against our sin, brought into a relationship with God as Father, becoming a member of the universal church, and having an eternal hope being a citizen of Christ's eternal kingdom. That is the good news, and it's all a gift. It's all by grace. You can never earn it. You can only receive it with open hands, like the hymn says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Trust in Jesus, that's the first step. You believe in him, which means you rely not on yourself, not on anyone else. You rely on what Jesus did, his death, his resurrection. That's the first step, believe. But then the next step is to be baptized, right? That's publicly declaring your faith. That's saying, I am a Christian. I'm on team Jesus now, publicly. I'm owning this. I am part of his kingdom. I'm part of his family. Many of you have been baptized. Some of you kids, you're in that process. You're getting older. Your faith is maturing, and maybe you're not ready yet, but you will be soon, and you're going to talk to your parents about it. Maybe you're talking to Pastor John or to me or others, and you're thinking about it. You're hoping to be baptized. Others of you, maybe you're adults and you've never taken that step. Do you know that Peter preaches not only belief in Jesus, but baptism in that very sermon? This is important to make that profession of faith. That's the second step. But then that third step is that they were added. There was a sense in which they were numbered and they belonged to a local community of believers. And that's what we're talking about today, church membership. That's not in those verses, but that's how we have understood it. That's how many believers and Baptists have understood the importance of belonging to a local church. So I have two goals. Number one, to convince you that church membership is biblical, for those of you who aren't convinced. And number two, to encourage all of us to make it more meaningful. Because a church membership list on a piece of paper can be utterly meaningless if it doesn't resemble true, life-giving, loving relationships with each other. So, first of all, what is church membership? It's this formal commitment to a local community of believers. So, in baptism, faith goes public. In membership, faith goes local. Church membership is where we say, I am committed to this group of people for this time in my life. It's not like a marriage. Sometimes people think if they join the church, it's like a lifetime commitment that you can never get out of. No, you can move. You can go join another church across the country or down the street if you feel that the Lord is leading you there and that's a better, you know, situation for you and for your family. That's perfectly fine. But it is that commitment of saying, for this time, I'm committed to these people and serving Christ with them together. It's where the rubber meets the road. Church membership is where the idea, the abstract idea of loving others becomes very concrete and specific. Now I've got to love Alice, who sings out of tune, right? Now I need to love Jethro. I'm trying to pick names that aren't in the congregation. Now I've got to love Jethro, who always seems to say something that rubs me the wrong way. Now I have to love this young family with the crying baby. And by the way, we love to hear crying babies at Rowandale because that's one indication, hopefully, that we're not a dying church, right? So you know, I'm annoyed with this new family. They're sitting in my pew. They're sitting in my seat, and I've got to put up with that, right? And all the other little bumps and all the little disappointments and all the things that happen in church life. Like, I'm committed to these actual people and all the blessings and all the burdens that come along with that. Now, the fact is, those who are not members, they experience that too. But it's not quite the same when you haven't committed, is it? It's not quite the same. And I just want to acknowledge right now that there are many non-members who are wonderful people here. There are many non-members who've attended here for years. You show up faithfully, you give, you support the church, you encourage others, you serve in ways that you can. And sometimes, and this is what messes with my head, because sometimes we have non-members who behave better than members. And just like, you know, there are people who come to Canada, they're not Canadian citizens, but they behave better than citizens. But that doesn't mean that citizenship isn't important. It just means we need to do it more meaningfully, right? Just because some who are not members live exemplary Christian lives doesn't mean that we should just do away with membership. It just means that we should do it better. It means that we should live it out more meaningfully. This is what Jonathan Lehman writes about church membership. that it's a formal relationship between a church and a Christian characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship in the Christian and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. It's pretty good. A little wordy, maybe. Let me say it. Let me sum it up. Church membership is saying, count me as a sheep. That's church membership. I want to be counted as a sheep. Please add me to this flock that you are responsible for. In fact, responsibility is a key word here because when someone becomes a member, he or she essentially is saying, I am taking responsibility for this church and I want others to take responsibility for me. It goes both ways. And if words like commitment and responsibility are not compelling to you, then you are not alone. We live in a culture that says happiness is found not in our commitments, but our freedom from commitments. You're hearing that all the time. And we often think in the same way that happiness is found in escaping responsibility, not embracing responsibility. We breathe the air of individualism every day, and that makes commitment seem stifling. But the truth is, it's in the commitments that we make that we find the most worthwhile endeavors of our lives. Isn't that true? When you look back on your life, the things that you will look back on most fondly will be the commitments that you carried out toward other people. We're never really free until we're living it the way that God has designed us to live, and that means laying down our lives for others. Jesus says in John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And so church membership is really a little way of laying down some of your individual freedom and autonomy and saying, I'm committed to living out my faith for the good of others and the glory of God in this particular community of redeemed sinners. I want to join this team. I want to wear the jersey, and I want to play a position. Okay, that's a basic idea of what church membership is. Now I'm going to give you five reasons that church membership is implied by the teaching of the New Testament and consistent with its teaching. Now, you may say, there's no verse, and I've had people say this to me, there is no verse in the Bible that says, you shall become a member of a local church. And you are correct. You are correct. There's no verse on the Trinity either, but we still believe it. Now, I'm not going to put church membership in the same level of importance as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am not going to do that. But the point is, we believe many things that we infer from Scripture. Though they may not be said explicitly, we understand them to be an implication of all of Scripture. And so here are five implications for membership from the New Testament. And there are more, but we don't have time for that many. Number one, membership is necessary for identifying a local church. Church membership clarifies the difference between a crowd and a congregation. It's not an undefined, a church in the New Testament is not an undefined mass of Christians, but a defined number of gathered Christians. And so here in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is giving instructions about the whole church assembling together. Do you see that? Therefore, the whole church assembles, if the whole church assembles together, and all are speaking in tongues, that's another subject. We're not going to deal with that today. But if the whole church assembles, and then he speaks of outsiders or unbelievers who come in. So the church is distinct from those who come in and visit and those who are unbelievers. Do you see that? It's not just a sort of undefined crowd of people, but it is a specific and distinct group of people. We see another text here in Acts 15, 22. Then the apostles and the elders with the whole church decided to select men who were among them and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas, both leading men among the brothers. Now, notice that the whole church had to come together to do what? To make a decision. We cannot make decisions unless we know who the church is. This is what we're doing tonight. We're gathering together and we have to make huge decisions about what we're going to do with our budget, who we're going to elect as leaders to different committees. We're going to receive members. We're going to deal with all this stuff. And we could just say, whoever shows up tonight, those are the people that are going to make the decision. But we don't know. Are they Christians? Are they part of our church? What do they believe? Like, we need to know who the church is. And so even in the New Testament, we see this clear definition of who the church is and how important that is for the functioning of the local church. Now, second reason why, or that we see in the New Testament that membership is necessary is for faithful shepherding. Acts 20:28, Paul says this to the elders of the church in Ephesus, the ancient city of Ephesus. He says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And so look, the idea of the flock, we have this vague idea of shepherding, but you know that in the Middle Eastern context, the shepherd knew exactly how many sheep he had. Like, he even named them, right? And I've heard stories of how shepherds would bring their sheep to watering holes, and all the sheep would be mingled there, and then the shepherds would go in their separate directions and call the sheep, and all the sheep would go with their shepherd, right? He knew exactly. This is why Jesus gives these illustrations, these parables of leaving the 99 sheep to go for the one, because shepherds count sheep, right? Some of you, you do that in order to fall asleep at night. You count sheep. When pastors count sheep at night, they stay awake, right? That's the way that it works with sheep counting. But the fact is, in order to shepherd, there has to be a sense, there has to be an understanding of who the sheep are. And here we see that the sheep are very precious to God, so much so that the blood of his son, he gave his only son to save them, and that God wants his sheep counted and looked after as part of a flock. Now, to be clear, this does not mean that we don't care for those who are not members. I regularly speak to non-members, meet with them, do their funerals. I will provide pastoral care. I'll visit non-members in the hospital. So certainly we don't have this sense that, well, I won't talk to you, you know, unless you're a member of this church. Absolutely not. But I do, on the other hand, understand that it is the members that I am primarily responsible to before God. These are the ones that we as leaders, as council, as pastors are called to shepherd. So membership is necessary for faithful shepherding. We need to know who the sheep are. But it's also necessary, on a similar note, for identifying leaders and followers. This is what it says in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." So membership is implied in the idea that there are leaders who are accountable for the souls of people. And there are people who are accountable to submit to those leaders. Again, it goes both ways. Now, the question is, whose souls must the leaders keep watch over? Because this is significant. I don't know. I have no idea how this happens. But there's a sense in which pastors and church leaders will give an account for the souls of their people. This is an extremely sobering thought. And it leads to important questions like, for example, thinking of the pastors and council members at Rowandale, whose souls must they keep watch over and give account to God for? Let's think about this. Well, we could begin with a very wide circle, and we could say, well, we could ask, are they responsible for all believers in the world? Right? That's kind of a ridiculous question. We would say, obviously, no, because we don't know who those people are. They're not even with us. They're not part of our church. Are they responsible for all believers in Winnipeg? We're narrowing the circle. Well, no, because we don't know all the believers in Winnipeg. They don't come to our church. We can't keep track of them. What about all believers in North Kildonan? We'd say, no, again, same thing. So as we narrow the circle, would we say that our pastors and council members are responsible for the souls of everyone who attends Rowandale? Now we're getting closer. To which I would say, I don't think so. For the simple reason that every week we have a different crowd of people here. Some of you have attended for the first time today. Some of you attend maybe once every few months. Some of you come late, leave early. I don't know who you are. You don't really know me. You're not really part of our church. And then we've got everything in between. And so the idea that pastors and leaders are responsible for everybody who attends, that's not realistic either. Again, this doesn't mean that we don't care for non-members, but it means that pastors and leaders have a responsibility to give account to who? Those who have said, count me as a sheep. Those who have said, I want you to be responsible for me, and I want to have a part in being responsible for this church, and that happens through church membership. Membership is an expression of willing submission by the people to their leaders in order that leaders can adequately watch over the souls for whom they must give an account to God. And here's where some of you are not members because you've had really bad experiences. And I understand that. You've been to a church where maybe there was sort of cult-like control. Maybe they paid attention to what you put in the offering, and they required you to give a certain amount, and they tried to control your life. I just want you to know that I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that. That doesn't happen here. I don't know what people give. I don't want to know. We are not here to control your life or micromanage you or make all your decisions for you. We're not a cult. But we want to take responsibility for each other. We want to be ready for that day. And that's what church membership is all about. And this leads us to the fourth point. Membership is necessary for church discipline. This is what the Lord Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't listen, take one or two others with you so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. If he doesn't pay attention to them, tell the church. If he doesn't pay attention even to the church, let him be like a Gentile and a tax collector to you. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. Now, we often look at that last verse, verse 20, and we take it out of context. We say, where there are two or three Christians, Jesus is especially present. That's not what he means. Jesus is no more present with two or three believers than he is with you when you're praying alone. Okay? What Jesus is talking about in the context is church discipline. And what he's saying is, where you are gathered in this process where somebody will not repent of sin, I am with you in a special way to give you authority on my behalf to bind and loose, to take action, to make decisions regarding discipline. That's what Jesus is saying. He's giving authority. In fact, Matthew 16 speaks of the keys of the kingdom. Jesus gives keys to the members of the church to make decisions on his behalf for the health and good of the church. And I know discipline sounds terribly unloving, but we know that without discipline, we're in huge trouble, right? When we're kids, we need to be disciplined to learn what is right. And as Christians, the Lord disciplines those he loves. And what Jesus is talking about here is this very difficult thing happens when someone will just not listen. They're going in a terrible, hell-bent destruction. What does the church do? In love, they reach out and they say, you got to stop. You got to repent. You got to come back. And notice that it is the church that is the highest authority, not a pastor, not a church council, not elders. It is the church that is the highest authority under Jesus Christ to make these decisions. And the fact is, without church membership, we could never do this. Because you would have to bring this to a group that we would understand to be part of the church that is authorized by Jesus Christ to take this action. And so here's where I would say this. If you are not a church member, you are not able to be disciplined in this way. And you may say, exactly. That's why I'm not a church member. And I would just say, that's not a good way of thinking about things. And again, I know that leadership can be abused, and we see this all the time. We hear horror stories of churches that abuse their authority and wreck people's lives. I don't think we do that here. I don't think we've done that here at Rowandale. I think we're very careful about these things, and this is one of the reasons why congregationalism is so important. It puts the authority in the congregation, not one individual or one leader. But I would just say that if you're not a church member, then you can't receive what Jesus is prescribing for those who are in sin. You're saying, I'm going to avoid this possibility of which Jesus speaks about. And on the other hand, if you're not a church member, you are not able to participate in the commands that Jesus gives here. So when you don't join a church, you're saying, there are these instructions from Jesus that really don't apply to me. I will not participate in these things because I've never joined a local church. Fifth, and finally, church membership is necessary for showing Christ to the world. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, of course, the body of Christ in a universal sense is all members of his body, those who are believers, whether or not they are members of a local church. But notice the context. Paul is speaking to a local church. He's speaking to believers at Corinth, the church at Corinth, this ancient city of Corinth. And the whole context is he's saying, this is how I want you to relate together as a body. You have different gifts and different strengths. One of you is like a thumb. One of you is like an elbow. One of you is like an eye. And you all, I mean, a body can't work if it's not connected. Membership connects members of the body together so that they can be a visible body. Do you know that Jesus says to believers in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, you are the what of the world? The light. In the Gospel of John, he says that he is the light. He says, I am the light. But in Matthew, he says, you are the light. Kind of like the moon, right? It doesn't have any light of its own, but it reflects the light of the sun for people to see. Like we are reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. If people don't see the body of Christ, they won't see him on earth. Which is why local churches are so important to make God's character visible, to make Christ's glory visible, to make his love tangible in the world. As church members relate to each other, membership is kind of like the sinews that holds the members of the body together so that they can function together as one in that unity, that blessing of God that we saw at the beginning of this service. And isn't that the whole point? Church membership exists not for us, but for those who are not yet part of the church. Right, church membership, sometimes we think it's just like this little club, kind of cliquish thing. Come and be a member and you're going to be part of this circle. No, the whole point of it is that we join the church so that we can join on mission to reach people who don't know Jesus. That is the whole point of why we exist. That is the whole point of why the body of Christ exists in this world. Just a few more minutes and then we're done. I want to say a few things in closing about making membership meaningful so that it's not meaningless. Number one, attend church. It's kind of obvious. You're here today, so maybe you don't need to hear that word this morning, but I would say attend church consistently. A lot of people attend every 2, 3, 4 weeks. Attend every week as long as you can. As long as you can. There may be a time in your life where you can't anymore. What a privilege to be able to show up here in person. You know, sometimes new believers come, and here's where, you know, non-attending members really set a negative example. And I know there are legit reasons not to attend. There are people who have shift work and they're nurses, they're ill, they're immobile. We have shut-ins, we have people in hospital. I totally get it. Maybe you're a caregiver for someone who needs help, and I understand. But when new believers come in, they join the church and they look around and they say, hey, where's everybody? And then they learn, oh, wow, I guess I'm taking this all too seriously. I should dial it back a little bit. Don't want to come here every week and be a fanatic. That's not a good example to set for others. Jesus, in Luke 4:16, it says that he entered the synagogue as was his custom. It was a habit for Jesus that Jesus grew up just going to the synagogue. And we just need to form that habit and say, we are just going to go to church, right? Like, that's the normal thing. We don't wonder on Saturday and have a family discussion about whether we're going to come to church. We just do. Unless there's a snowstorm or I'm really sick or something. But normally, we just go to church as a habit. And this is where I want to lovingly address those who are watching at home on the live stream and say, I appreciate that you're watching. And I know that there are many reasons for you to watch. You may not yet be a believer and you're checking out this church. Great. You may be looking at another church to attend. You're checking out this church. Great. But for those who are watching who could be here week to week, but you choose not to, I just want to say that you're missing out. We're missing out, right? When we don't come, when you are sitting at home watching, and I know, again, there are legitimate reasons to watch on the live stream, but when you are watching on the live stream from home, you cannot do any of the one another's in the New Testament. You know all the one another's? Love one another, pray for one another, serve one another, greet one another, encourage one another. You can't do any of that at home. At least, you can't do that with us here when you're watching on the live stream. And so I would encourage you, if you can, to join us because God has so much more for your Christian life than merely watching on a screen. If the live stream is our main means of church, you will willingly neglect your own spiritual growth. You'll miss out on many blessings and opportunities that God has for you. And I would say this as well, that those who isolate themselves from the body will eventually deceive themselves about their faith. I've just seen it time and time and time again. So we hope you come and join us as soon as you can. So attend church, and then second, engage with church. So I want to challenge you, those of you who are here, who are not yet members, to attend our membership class, which happens to begin next Sunday. In the prayer room at 9:25 a.m. If you'd like to attend, let me know. For those who are members, attend our church business meeting, which just happens to be tonight, at 6 p.m. here in this room. Do you know that that's one of the duties listed in our bylaws? One of the duties of members is to attend business meetings. It's not an optional thing, right? We need all of you. We're a congregational church. I mean, we could just make all the decisions without you. I don't think you want that. It's a privilege. Please come tonight at 6 p.m. as we make decisions together. And then I would encourage you also, those of you who do come faithfully, you attend faithfully, engage with church. Come early and stay late. Those of you who came right at 10:30 or you came at like 10:28, I want to encourage you next Sunday to come 5 minutes early or 5 minutes earlier than you did today and say hello to someone. I want you to come to church not just thinking about what you're going to get, but how you can give. I want you to come to church thinking about who you can encourage. Even if it's one person, come early and then stay late and go downstairs and have coffee and talk to one person before you leave. Just one and see what happens. See how your Christian life strengthens and grows as a result of that. I'd encourage you to come to prayer meetings. We just happen to have one this Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the lobby. Second and fourth Wednesdays of every month, we have Sunday school classes at 9:25 for all ages. We have so many opportunities, excuse me, to serve. We have need of people to help with coffee fellowship. If you can help with that, talk to Holger or let me know. We need people to serve with kids ministry. We need people to serve in all kinds of ways in our church, opening their homes for small groups, and we have all kinds of things and all kinds of opportunities. And so I'd encourage you as a member to serve and find one way that you can serve others. Just as we close, I want to tell you about that friend that I told you about in the beginning. You know, the guy who said that he didn't want to join a local church. Well, he did. I talked to his pastor, and you know, he completely changed his mind, and he realized how important it was for him to make that commitment. He joined the church. He became a member. He's a great blessing to that congregation. He's all in, and I look forward to seeing him and asking him about it, and I hope that you will think about what we've talked about today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, wherever we are on that progression, belief, baptism, belonging, I pray that you would help us take a step forward. I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would help us to do one thing, to take one step toward greater commitment, greater responsibility, greater accountability, and greater blessings as we walk with you by faith, but also as we walk together with each other in love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.